He wants you to have the joy of getting the paralyzed one up. So Peter comes there and he finds a man named Aeneas who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. Immediately he got up, and all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Restored. God is saying, get up and make your bed. How many times does my wife tell my kids that and they complain? Man, I'll tell you what, Aeneas was so happy. He could make his bed after 8 years. After 8 years, he gets to make his bed. Not that he's going to not use it anymore, but it's no longer his permanent residence. God doesn't want you to stay in that place of just complete despair anymore. It's not to be your permanent residence. Make your bed. Rise up and walk. And now, verse 36, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. And this woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. Passionate for God. Burning it out for God. God's going to bless this lady. What's God going to do for this? She is burning her life out for God and Jesus Christ. Next verse tells us how she gets blessed. And it happened that she fell sick and died. Passionate workers for Jesus Christ get sick. They die. But has absolutely nothing to do with their relationship with God. Because you know what? It's not about me and it's not about you. We are designed for His purposes. He is not designed to fulfill our purposes. And it happened that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body and laid it in the upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him and imploring him, do not delay in coming to us. So Peter arose, went with them, and when he arrived, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was still with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt and prayed. We say it all the time. I'm going to say it again, people. Prayer is so important. There is a spiritual dimension that we can't see. And you know what? If it didn't matter to us, then who cares? But the Bible tells us it's incredibly important and we need to be aware of it. And when you delve into that realm that you can't see, one of the most effective ways you do it is through prayer. And our conversations with God create activity in the invisible realm that has tangible results in the realm that you can see. They're more tangible than often what we can do in the realm that we can see. Because Peter here knelt down and prayed next to this corpse, and turning to the body, he said, you know what he did? He went for it. He took Pat's advice. Go for it. Peter had so much faith that death was an option at this point. Do we leave her dead, Lord? He certainly could have said yes. He didn't have him raise Stephen from the dead, did he? Stephen remained dead, and it said there was loud lamentation. Christians get sad. It says in the NIV, they deeply wept. It's okay, people. When tragedy strikes, we don't always have to sing, I have a mansion somewhere over the hilltop. Sometimes We have to allow the fact that God made us emotional beings and have loud lamentation and deep weeping, because it's in those brokenhearted places God does some of his greatest work. Again, though, we don't live there. There comes a time when it's time to make your bed, get up, and move on. In Tabitha's case, he said, "Arise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up. Calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive, and it became known over all Joppa. And again, many believed in the Lord. I'm just going to end in this. You can't have, I came across this somewhere this week, and I said, man, this is a word for this morning. You can't have a positive without first having a negative. Did you ever hear that one before? A negative can be all by itself. There it is, dash, right? Just straight horizontal line. But you can have that all alone by itself, never making your bed, staying there in whatever that circumstance is. But here's the key. You can never have a positive without not first having that negative, because you got the horizontal negative, but then God brings a vertical circumstance of hope to cross the negative, and you've got a positive situation. The crucifixion, then the resurrection. Paralyzed, then revitalized. Death, then life. The negative thing that's going on right now is just the groundwork so God can bring his vertical power into it and make it a positive representation for the kingdom of God. See, the goal wasn't to extend their temporary existence. I always tell you that. Go see Aeneas now, or go see Tabitha. Where are they? They died anyway. That wasn't the point. The point was that people believed, because it's not about us. And sometimes God expands his kingdom through the death of a Stephen, and sometimes he expands his kingdom through the healing of a Dorcas or an Aeneas. And we all want to be the healed Aeneas. We all want to be the risen from the dead Tabitha. We all want to be the Peter that raises them from the dead. But let me tell you something, people. Gifts come from God and they're free. But the maturity to exercise them is very expensive. Peter had a scarred back. Go back to chapter and read chapter 5, verse 40. Flogged. God can't entrust serious equipment. You can't give a kid a real machine gun. He's got to learn how to use it. And maturity is expensive. But God is waiting for somebody Matthew 16, 25, 26. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Peterson Message says, self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for a soul? He just lets that question hang. Leaves it for us to answer. I think we know. Joel.
Just in keeping with that theme of restoration, you know, it's interesting. It says that for 8 years, he was bedridden. You know, we went through that scripture with our high school and college kids a little while back, and I said the same thing Pastor Greg said. Don't let that be lost on you. For 8 years, he was bedridden. It's easy to read these things and gloss over it and go to the next verse. But I tell you what, when you're in that bed, you can't gloss over it. If you're the one in the bed, if you're the one who can't get up for 8 years. But it's so beautiful how God weaves this theme of restoration here with Leon sharing and everything this morning. You know that number 8 is the number of new beginnings. 7 is the number of completion, perfection. And 8 is the number of new beginnings. David was the 8th son of Jesse. The young Hebrew boy is circumcised on the 8th day, cutting off the old and letting go of all that. And a new beginning. God wants you to have a new beginning today. So you might be like Aeneas or Dorcas, and God's saying he wants to restore.
I was also just reminded again, you know, God uses all the parts of the body, does he not? He uses the young. He uses the not so young. Astrid reminded me yesterday that this week, the 27th of July, is when this church was started. This week. 79 years ago, 1932. And God is still restoring. I believe this church's greatest day is yet to come. Is yet to come. Here to the uttermost parts of the earth, literally. We've prayed for them on their way for Africa and...
Did you just say 79 years?
79.
So we're about to finish our 8th decade. Is that what you just said?
That's right. That's right.
This is the last year of the 8th decade.
Better with numbers than me, you know? Listen, I just feel like this is a special Sunday. We're not going to worry about if we've done all the stuff that we thought we were supposed to do, but I really do feel that before we close out, I want to have Pat come up, that we could rejoice in one of the missions that you voted in and we support. And what's going on there. I know Anna and her sister Roxana were down there with a team of about 15. And just let Pat take a little time and maybe show us a few pictures and share with us what God did. And then on the heels of that, I think we're just going to have a worship celebration party for any of those that would like to stay and worship at that point. Okay, but Pat, come on up and just share the way God is using Omegas Honduras. I know I probably didn't say it right, but you know.
Get you a handheld.
I can use it wherever you guys want me. Is this working? Okay. I just wanted to say one thing about your cat. I think I'll hold it. Yeah, I'll hold it. Something I learned a long time ago is that God a lot of times does things in the natural to show us what he's doing in the spiritual realm. So pay attention to the signs around the earth and the little things that happen, especially finding your cat as a sign of restoration. I really think that's a sign of, in the natural, of what's going on in your life and in the life of this church. And that before I just wanted to share one more scripture that I was, felt God wanted me to read, and I felt like part of what we were trying to do in Honduras and what we're all trying to do in our lives. And it's for the kingdom, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. You know, we can all go to church. We can all even wear our crosses and our bumper stickers and say hallelujah. But if we're not living by his power, it just ain't worth it. All right, Tommy. First of all, I want to thank all of you for voting us in again. For those that don't know who we are, Amigos de Honduras was started around 2003, 2004 to carry out the work of my parents. My mother has passed away, gone on to be with the Lord. My father still lives in Honduras. But just to really carry out the spirit of their heart, which is to reach out to the poor and the less privileged. Some of you have been with us on mission trips. And we just took a mission trip this past June. We work with both the Catholic Church and the Protestant Evangelical Church in the town. And we do outreach to the elderly, to children. We support their programs throughout the year and take a medical team every once in a while down to try to also love them in a different way, in a more tangible way. This is our team this year. Some of them, I'd like to acknowledge people that have been from this church on previous trips. I know that, is Laura Dean here? There's Laura and Erlene Shipper was around here. Oh, okay. And besides my children and Rox and Anna, sorry. Anna's, well, she's in the present right now, but yes, in the past. So this is our team this year. We were 15, ranging from the age of 14 to 84. And we were joined by my father and a young man that we met in town. My dad is, this is him just a couple of months ago. He's doing very, very well. Thank God. He was recently healed of prostate cancer, and he's doing very, very well. We have people that joined us from California, from Dix Hills. We had a doctor who joined us from Venezuela, who actually now lives in Jacksonville, Florida. His wife is my partner in my practice right now. Okay, you can, next. This is just some of the views that we had when we were in Honduras. And by the way, my husband Jim put together this PowerPoint, but most of the pictures that we used were from Anna, who is a wonderful photographer. This is the town many of you might remember, and that's the church, the Catholic Church. This is a view from my father's house. And this is us praying before we were going out to one of our days. Some time of fellowship around the table. We all stayed, by the way, at my dad's house. On Monday, we ministered at a children's home called La Finca. This is a picture of that. And there's Roxana directing the kids, as she does so well. And there were three practitioners. Dot, who's in the forward here, she is a physician's assistant. Yours truly, and Pepe, our Venezuelan doctor. There's Dot. Yours truly. And Pepe. We had a really good time at this place. We saw about 80 children. And then we have a special program where we provide fluoride for the children. Abre la boca, which means open your mouth. Don't eat, don't drink for half an hour. It was a very special opportunity of ministry. And I feel even though we ministered to 80 children, I really believe the Lord brought us to minister to this one girl in particular. She came to us, even though she's smiling, this is a before and after picture. She came to us kind of depressed. She had a lot of lymph nodes, which is what made Dot call me over, and we found like her infested with lice, and which was very unusual because the kids in this children's home are very well cared for. But the director told us that she just was not willing to take care for herself. She was depressed, came from an abuse situation. So I called Anna over because Anna really has a gift of compassion. And what we did even before we cleaned her up is that we prayed for her. Because what I'm really seeing is that we can clean people up. You can't stay clean unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So we prayed for her and asked God to really empower her. And Anna took her off and did her magic and her love and cleaned her up. And it was really a blessing to see her countenance after the fact. We can go. While we were working inside, the kids were playing outside, and it was just really lots of fun. There's Matthew, my son, and Cassidy. There is David. Okay, next. My dad still has his old pickup truck, and we're a lot of times need to sit in the back and ride the mountains. This is another beautiful view that is actually outside of a community that we went in and worked at called Paso de Ganada, which means cattleway passageway. This is a small community of that was built by a priest, and he ran out of funds, and the town finished it out. There's around 80 homes that have been built on this mountainside. There's just brick houses with a little bit of, or block houses with, you can see the roofs that are just tin. Initially, they only had electricity, and they just started getting running water. But the people have to tap into the system, and I'll talk to you more about that in a minute. So you'll find people coming to their homes carrying just bottled water, and that's what they use for their everyday life. I went there last March with the church that we work with, and I really felt the Lord move upon me that we should go in there and work. So it was a really tough drive. I had to use a four-wheel drive to get up there. We had to carry this stuff. But while we were there, you can see there I am with Pepe in the background. We were able to see about 150 people just from the community. This is Alberto, who is the pastor that we work with. These are some of the children. There's Cassidy. She's my medical assistant from Florida who came with us. And there we were trying to plan the morning with, that's Norma. She's one of the assistant pastors. And Dot and Kathy, who's Jim's sister, my husband's sister, my sister-in-law. We also were able to bring lots of toys and balloons and do lots of good things. So everybody was able to get a little bit of a prize after they passed through the medical. Here's our pharmacy. People that are waiting to be seen. Some of the children, some of our balloons that a lot of the kids made. There's Anna ministering to a woman. There's Pepe with one of the elderly gentlemen. There we are. Giving fluoride. Giving medicines. That was, our pharmacy did an awesome job. We also give out clothing at the end. So we really try to meet the needs of the people. Giving out shoes. And these are the balloons that I was able to bring a little kit. And so Michael, David, Matthew made really beautiful balloon animals for the kids. It was really fun. So afterwards, we went on the road. We decided to visit another children's home, which was in about a seven-hour drive outside of where my dad lives, outside of Villanueva. So we took the bus. These are just some of the scenery on the way. On our way there, we stopped in at this hotel, which is actually where we spent the night, and it's by a beautiful lake called Lago Yehoa. We had a nice meal, beautiful fish. and we took a great boat ride. Saw some tilapia farms, which was very interesting. Did some swimming. There's Jim, for those that you know my husband. Some of the views along the way. Beautiful countryside. Some wildlife. And now this family is really precious to me. They have been working in Honduras for several years. After Mitch hit, he felt led to go down there and help. And God just broke his heart for the children of Honduras. They're from Jacksonville, Florida. And they recently came back a year ago. They've adopted this one little girl, and they had their little baby. And somehow they learned about me and decided they wanted me to be their pediatrician in Jacksonville. So after I met them, I really felt moved, and we went and visited them. I had no idea where we were going. We went to this place called Villanueva, which is an hour and a half outside of the lake we went to, and then we had another like hour drive up this mountain range. But they are so unique. They are there with the Episcopal Church, and they are amazing. They are growing cattle. They're trying to be self-sustain themselves, so they're growing cattle, selling milk, growing coffee, selling coffee, using all their talents and creativity to minister to the children of Honduras. They presently have 8 children living with them. There's wonderful people. There was a birthday party that day, and we were able to share in that joy. And we were able to examine the children. It was really very special. Here we are on the bus again. There are the cattle saying goodbye to us. Some more pictures, some more scenery. We stopped at a McDonald's for breakfast. And this is a picture Anna took from a bus. Our other outreach on Friday morning was to the elderly. The Catholic Church has a mass the first Sunday of every month to minister to the elderly. So we were able to attend. These are some of the elderly waiting. This was the mass. The church is actually, it's very interesting what God does. It's called St. Francis of Assisi. And I was brought up Catholic, and my confirmation name is Francis. And St. Francis has always been special to me. So I was able to, the priest is really a very neat guy, and he let me translate the homily for our team. Here we are with some of the elderly. This is a before picture. One of the things we did during this time after the mass was we gave out clothing and we gave out glasses. This is the after picture. You know what? It was very touching to see people put these glasses on and go, wow, I can see. It was very special. Just another picture of the town. And, oh, this was really funny, too. You know, the vineyard here in Rockville Center, they have been going down because of Evelyn Sorensen, who some of you know. And she took the, one of the pastors took the youth group down. So as we were leaving, they were coming in. So we were able to meet up with them in Honduras around the town. It was very, very special. Here's Dot and Timmy with some kids. Olga is my father's housekeeper. She is a wonderful cook. And these are some of the foods she made us, tortillas and pupusas and tamales and everything that you can imagine under the sun. And this will lead us into our next little project that I just wanted to mention to you. This is Jim's sister who donated a water tank. A year ago, or maybe it's now 2 years, I was praying and saying, Lord, you know, it's great for us to go down, do a little medical care. It's great for us to give some food, because we do food for the elderly. It's great for us to give clothing, but I really want to do something that really has more of a lasting impact. And 2 years ago, 2 Marches ago, I was in Honduras, and the Lord, just in conversation with my father, gave us the idea to start buying water tanks for the people in the surrounding mountains. Before I mention anything, people in that area can get water because they live at the footstool of a beautiful rainforest, and there's a water reservoir, but they can tap into the water that comes in from there, but then they put water in buckets in these big ceramic kind of pilas, so it can get infested with fleas and with mosquitoes, and that can lead to dengue and other parts of the country, malaria. So it's really a health issue. So we were able to purchase these tanks that hold about 600 gallons of water for $100 a piece. So we started, and in 2010, we gave out 11 tanks, and this year we've given out approximately 20 tanks. These are some of the tanks that have been delivered to my dad's house. These are some of the guys that work for him and live in the house, Olga's boys. And Jim, we wanted to thank the different people that have given tanks to us. So Jim, my husband, artist, creative guy that he is, came up with stickers, and we were able to go around while we were there and put some stickers on some of the tanks that we had already delivered. These are tanks that are ready for installation. Here we go. We went around one day and put stickers on. This is how it looks. You can see how the people are living, but now they have clean water, which is really awesome. Oh, want to thank the Hennigans and Dove Givings Foundation. They've been very helpful in helping us do this project and their donation. St. Luke Lutheran Church is a church in Dix Hills that has been very, very supportive of us. The ARP from Massapequa Park, Liz and Ed Steele. These are some of the other installations that are about to take place. And we want to thank everyone, including Point Lookout Community Church, for your support, because without your support, I wouldn't be able to do what we've been doing. Adios, amigos. And that's it. That's it. I know Greg wants to have more worship, and I just wanted to, again, that word that the Lord gave me prophetically about going for it was the theme that we had during our trip. And I'm not anybody special, but I do believe that God imparts so that we can impart. So if during that time anybody wants any prayer for that specifically, for, you know, to be able to have the, what they would say, chutzpah, to go for it, I'm happy to be available to pray.
All right. You know what we're going to do? We're going to